The next guest on Weekend is an accomplished attorney and law professor who writes regularly for major law journals. She donates 10% of her income to charity, and she teaches at a Sunday school. She is also a sociopath, which means, according to some definitions, that you might expect her to be ruthless, to have a calculating attitude towards social and interpersonal relationships, and to be relatively immune to experiencing negative emotions. Verbal aggression and excessive self-esteem might also feature. Well, having been diagnosed, she has founded sociopathworld.com, has written about her condition, and advises young people who think they may be sociopaths via her website. M.E. Thomas is not her real name, but I'm going to say welcome to the programme to you. You're in San Diego for us.
Thank you.
Prior to your diagnosis, what led you to believe you were a sociopath?
Well, I received an informal diagnosis, I should say, from a coworker of mine first. We had spent the summer sharing an office together, and she was very interested in ethics, and I was also very interested in ethics. We'd have these long conversations together, and after a few weeks of it, she said, "You might want to consider the possibility that you're a sociopath." And I looked it up online, and I saw the traits, and I thought, yeah, this makes a lot of sense. And it made sense in a way that nothing really had made sense before.
Who then confirmed it as far as it can be confirmed?
Right. So, you know, when I first heard that term, I thought, okay, sociopath, but it didn't really mean that much to me. At the time, I was successful in my life and things were going well. It wasn't until several years later that things all fell apart. I lost a job and I lost several relationships that I decided I wanted to explore it more formally. So I started the blog and I got diagnosed by John Edens, who teaches psychology at Texas A&M University.
I mentioned some definitions, and they are only some. I could have made that list a good deal longer, and I was reading some of your material prior to this conversation. It is a very, very complex area. When you pick out qualities in your own personality that will point you towards the conclusion that you have, what do you pick out?
You know, it's interesting because the traits, it's like you say, the traits are, they seem almost like just personality traits and extreme personality traits, charming, fearlessness, charismatic, risk-seeking, these sorts of traits you could expect in any entrepreneur, any businessman.
That's what I was about to suggest, yes.
Right, a journalist, you know, entering war zones, whatever it is. The primary traits I think that are very distinguishing from the general population, though, is a lack of empathy or, you know, at least diminished empathy, at least in certain contexts. And because they don't empathize, they have different emotional worlds. They're not able to understand their own emotional world, so they don't really have meaning to their emotion. So they don't really have a conscience to the extent that we think of a conscience as you feeling guilt and then thinking, I have done something wrong. Sociopaths, they don't interpret their own emotions that sort of way.
Let me bring my guests in, who I know are listening to you with great interest. Declan, maybe a thought to Emmy Thomas, a question.
Are sociopaths self-aware, can you tell me, as you are?
I think that sociopaths are aware that they don't empathize. They're aware that there's something missing and they're aware that they're pretending. I think that they're definitely aware of that. I don't think that they know the term sociopath. I didn't before I heard the person call me a sociopath. And it's sort of unfortunate that the term is sort of distorted in modern media, you know, the classic Hollywood type of the serial killer. I think a lot of people would think, you know, I'm not a sociopath. I can't be a sociopath because I'm not a killer. And that's what I kind of thought, too. You know, I'm Mormon. I have a successful career. How could I be a sociopath? But it turns out that I am.
If I were to meet you in person, how would I recognize you as a sociopath?
Oh, see, that's the tricky thing. It's very difficult to recognize sociopaths. I think that's largely what makes them so sort of scary, is that they're very unfamiliar. Everybody statistically has met a sociopath, but you probably have never noticed that you've met a sociopath. I think, though, despite it being difficult, probably the telltale signs are sustained eye contact. If they seem to be kind of staring at you, a very intense stare, then that's probably one of the biggest tip-offs.
Do you have an intense stare? Are you conscious of that yourself?
I do. In fact, you know, if I'm in an interview or, you know, a first date situation or something, I very consciously have to think to break eye contact.
Right.
Because
okay.
there's nothing sort of about sustained eye contact that, you know, scares me or turns me off. It's something that I could do all day.
Barrier.
Is there a remedy for this? Are you taking medication? And how widespread is this around the world and especially in the States? And are you really isolated from the world at large?
Right. Good questions. So the guess is that it's 1% to 4%, at least in North America. But there are sociopaths in every culture. In fact, you can see kind of the recorded history. There's, you know, the Alaskan tribes. They would say for people who were antisocial and acted this way that they put them on an ice floe when nobody else was looking and sort of kind of deal with them that way, kill them off or isolate them from the rest of the village. There really hasn't been that much research about treatment. I only know of one study that's been done on treatment. The common wisdom is that sociopaths do not respond well to talk therapy, that all they do is learn to manipulate better because they learn better the sort of emotional words and reactions that people are expecting in certain situations. But most of the research has also been done on sociopaths that are incarcerated. So people who are in prison, you can imagine that there's a lot of manipulation anyways going on in terms of trying to get out on parole.
What causes this condition? Do we know what causes it?
We don't really know. They've done twin studies and they guess that it's about half genetics and half something else, environmental or whatever else. For me, I think that I probably get a genetic link from my father's birth father who abandoned him as a baby and sort of had a history of risk-taking and, you know, also abandoned my father as a baby. And then environmental, you know, I think that there are a lot of things that can trigger it. There is some evidence that people of lower socioeconomic classes will manifest traits in a different way, that they will be more criminal and that sociopaths from higher socioeconomic classes might manifest their risk-taking in something like ski racing instead.
One final question from me. Why do we know you as M.E. Thomas and not by your real name?
Right. So I chose to write under a pseudonym because I have a family and they have done really nothing to sort of bring any shame upon themselves, I guess. And it's just not safe, really, to have my real name out. People who know me know this about me, and part of writing the book has been a desire to be more honest and open about it, just a personal preference that I have. But I've strangers and stuff, you know, people hate sociopaths, and it just doesn't seem like a safe idea for me to use my real name.
M.E. Thomas, fascinating talking to you. Thank you for coming on the program.